The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Jonathan Healy in for Pat. Terry Sheridan is the managing editor of WSHU Public Radio. Good morning, Terry.
And good morning, Jonathan.
Lots to talk about. We'll begin with the ongoing Congress investigation into the events of January the 6th. That they had evidence yesterday, albeit by video, from former Attorney General Bill Barr, recounting his difficulty in convincing Donald Trump that election fraud claims were baseless. Let's listen.
There was an avalanche of all these allegations of fraud that built up over a number of days, and it was like playing whack-a-mole because something would come out one day and then the next day it would be another issue. Also, I was influenced by the fact that all the early claims that I understood were completely bogus and silly and usually based on complete misinformation. And so I didn't consider the quality of claims right out of the box to give me any, you know, feeling that there was really substance here. This got under my skin, but I also felt it was time for me to say something. So I set up a lunch with the AP reporter, Mike Balsamo, and I told him at lunch, I made the statement that to date we have not seen fraud on a scale that could have affected a different outcome in the election. And the president was as mad as I've ever seen him, and he was trying to control himself. And the president said, well, this is, you know, killing me. You didn't have to say this. You must have said this because you hate Trump. You hate Trump. And I told him that the stuff that his people were shoveling out to the public was bullshit. I mean, that the claims of fraud were bullshit. And, you know, he was indignant about that.
It was all sensational stuff, Terry. I mean, it's jaw-dropping. Gives truth to the lie that everybody in Trump's White House was standing in some way behind him and the claims that he was making. But it feels a little bit like the eighth season of Game of Thrones. We were enthralled by the first six seasons. We got bored by the seventh, and in the eighth, we just wanted it to be over. Is that the feeling in the US here, is that yes, it's shocking, it's terrible, but it's not really telling us anything we didn't know?
Well, I think it is telling us a lot that we didn't know, because again, just different little things. I mean, for me, the two big things that came out of yesterday's hearing, and as I told Pat last week, look at the series of hearings more as a court case. Last week's hearing, very dramatic. It was like an opening statement. Now they're pressing evidence that they have found. The two big things was that most of Trump's, I guess, they call themselves Team Normal. It was the Attorney General, the Justice Department, saying, look, there is no fraud. So he was being repeatedly told, even by family members, that there's no fraud. You lost the election. But then the people who wanted to, again, stroke his ego were telling him, no, there was fraud. You have hope. You have hope. But I think more importantly, the one thing was the whole $250 million that was raised for a defense fund to fight quote-unquote election fraud that never existed and that basically went into his pocket and into the pocket of family members and friends.
Do we know where the $250 million is, actually? Because that was a very interesting line thrown out, the suggestion or at least implication that there was an element of fraud here. Does he still have that money?
That I don't know, but I know he's been paying out exorbitant fees to family members. For instance, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Donald Jr.'s fiancée at this point, was paid $60,000 for a minute and a half speech on that January 6th rally. So where the money is, it could be anywhere at this point, but it's not in a fund or has not funded defense or investigations into the alleged fraud.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not a shocker that they wouldn't have good governance. But at the same time, let's go back to what Trump said before he was elected. He could walk out onto Fifth Avenue, shoot somebody dead, and the people who were going to vote for him, still going to vote for him. What's going to change after this hearing?
I don't know. I mean, again, if you're looking at the way that America is so divided at this point, if you can just move like 2 or 3% of the people in the middle, people who legitimately may like conservative policies but don't necessarily like Trump,
That's where the difference is. No, Trump's supporters and the president himself, you know, they're saying that this is a partisan witch hunt. The overwhelming evidence, according to them, is that there was election fraud. And then they're bashing the Democrats and President Biden for the what they're calling the they're destroying the United States because of the inflation, because of the lack of baby formula and other supplies, the price of gasoline, the withdrawal from Afghanistan last summer. So they're going after the Democrats saying, hey, you're rehashing something that's a year and a half old, but the country is sinking now.
Moving to something where there is actually a bit of progress at long last on the issue of gun violence and the horrific deaths of 19 people at a school in Texas. It does appear now for the first time that there is enough support in the Senate for a measure of change. By our standards, not enough at all, but at least it's progress.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the first progress in 30 years. Now, everyone says this is the first step. This is not enough. And they wish it could be much more. But basically what happened was that 20 senators, 10 Republican, 10 Democrats, got together to work on this framework. It includes funding to encourage states to pass red flag laws. That means when a family member or someone thinks that someone is of danger to themselves or to others, they can go to a court and get the gun temporarily taken away. There's funding for mental health and school safety. They closed the so-called boyfriend loophole, which in the past, if there was a restraining order or they wanted to remove a gun from someone, they had to be the current boyfriend or the current spouse. But more importantly, there is the federal law against straw purchases and gun trafficking. And also, it defines clearer what is a licensed gun dealer. If you're a federally licensed gun dealer, you have to perform a background check currently, right now. The loophole was that, you know, people could say, well, this is not my main occupation. I'm doing this on the side. Therefore, I don't have to perform the background check. And again, it's not a done deal. It could still fall apart, but it is a good first step.
One other story you've been talking to Pat a lot about in recent weeks is the Heard Depp case that resulted in a victory for both, but more on the Depp side than the Heard side. Now, Amber Heard has been speaking to NBC News about that defamation trial. Let's have a listen to a little bit of that.
I don't care what one thinks about me or what judgments you want to make about what happened in the privacy of my own home and my marriage behind closed doors. I don't presume the average person should know those things, and so I don't take it personally. But even somebody who is sure I'm deserving of all this hate and vitriol, even if you think that I'm lying, you still couldn't look me in the eye and tell me that you think on social media there's been a fair representation. You cannot tell me that you think that this has been fair.
Of course, we also touched on what happened in court and what the jury decided. There's no polite way to say it. The jury looked at the evidence you presented. They listened to your testimony and they did not believe you. They thought you were lying.
How could, I'll put it this way, how could they make a judgment? How could they not come to that conclusion? They had sat in those seats and heard over 3 weeks of nonstop, relentless testimony from paid employees and towards the end of the trial, randos, as I say.
So you don't blame the jury?
I don't blame them. It wasn't, I don't blame them. I actually understand he's a beloved character and people feel they know him. He's a fantastic actor.
Their job is to not be dazzled by that. Their job is to look at the facts and the evidence. And they did not believe your testimony or your evidence.
How could they, after listening to 3.5 weeks of testimony about how I was an uncredible person, not to believe a word that came out of my mouth.
Terry Sheridan, that was Amber Heard speaking with Savannah Guthrie on NBC. Terry, what I find somewhat repulsive about this whole thing is the need to relitigate this. I mean, it has been litigated twice at this point. It's being litigated again a third time, the Court of Public Opinion. Why would anyone stick their head up after putting themselves through what has been torture?
Well, I don't know what Amber Heard's strategy is or what she's thinking, but her reputation took a huge beating in this past case. So if she is looking for a career, her movie career to continue, her film career to continue, she has to do some sort of, she has to get out there and not let that jury judgment be the last word. Now, again, the big discussion here in the States about this trial, 2 or 3 weeks later after this verdict, is that how unfairly she was treated, and then how up on social media and how she was portrayed in court, and how this is going to discourage other victims of domestic violence from coming forward, because there's always that risk now that, okay, if I make these accusations, whether I'm Amber Heard or whether I'm someone no one has ever heard of, I'm just going to get beat up in court, and I'm going to get beat up on social media.
Yeah. Okay. Terry Sheridan, back with Pat next week, managing editor of WSHU Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.